Thanks, fellas.
Amen. Yeah, praise God. Good morning. It's great to be back on the pulpit. 20 years married. I'm proud to be married to Vicky. It's been a great 20 years and looking forward to the next 20. Amen. Amen. So praise God. It's been a while since I preached. Actually, the last time I preached was at Naomi's wedding. Where's Naomi? She's gone downstairs. And the Lord has been doing work in me for the last couple of years that have been, you know, the song was sung there, I want God's will, not my will. And sometimes we get in the way of that. And sometimes we're the obstacle. And what God has to do is He has to change our hearts and He has to change our view and our perspective. And sometimes it takes a while. It takes time. And there's nothing wrong with that. As a Christian man, I'd say to you, there's nothing wrong with change. But change is quite difficult. Change can be, there's a lot of resistance that goes on, especially within the heart. But that's okay. Amen. That's okay. There's no pressure. God won't allow that to happen. But what He will do is He'll bring you to that place and He'll bring you either by crook or by hook, in my case. But I'm getting there and I'm here now and it's great to bring the word to you. So let's pray. Father, not my way, Lord, but your way. I love that in that song. Not my way, but your way, Lord. Not me, but Christ in me. One of the most profound statements. Not me, but Christ in me. And Father, I just bless you for your word this morning, Lord God. I thank you that it's in me, Lord God, that you have in some way, Lord God, put it in me to get it out. And Lord God, I ask you now, Lord, just to loosen my lips, Lord God, and open my mind up, Lord, and bring me where you want me to go for your glory, Lord God, and for your blessing. Amen. So we're doing a series, Keys to the Kingdom. We've been doing it for the last few weeks, possibly a couple of months. And Noel asked me to share on this and keep to the theme. But, you know, it can be a very vague theme, Keys of the Kingdom. What does Keys of the Kingdom mean? I've been looking into it. And sometimes we don't understand, like in Matthew 16:9, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. We all know that. I've heard that hundreds of times. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And what does that mean? And how do we try and understand that in a different way? And that's my job this morning, is to teach it, to bring it out, to bring a different side to it. But also, it's your job to receive it. You know, there's a two-way thing going on when we come to church. That you have to listen to me preaching to receive it. So something changes within you when you walk out here. I love that about the Christian church. There was always something that fascinated me from the very first time I walked into a Christian church. Coming from a Catholic background. But from the very first time I walked into a Christian church, I loved that understanding that you can walk out here different. And I've seen it in my own life. Nowhere else in this city, this morning at this time, what time is it? At 12 o'clock, where else can you go? What else can you be a part of that you literally walk in and something changes you? Either in your emotion, in your perspective, how you see life, how you understand life, how you see people, how you see anything, understand that you can walk out different. I don't think there's anywhere. I don't think there's anywhere where you can go. And what is the catalyst of that? What is the driver of that? It's the Word of God. The Word of God changes, cuts to the bone of a person, cuts into you and changes you right into the very marrow of who you are. Your very essence. That's what the marrow is. That's what the English means. The marrow and bone, the marrow of a person is essence of who they are. And then change it. That you can see something different. That you can receive something. That you can be blessed. So I remember many, many years ago, I walked into a church. I won't mention the church. But I walked into a church, right? And there was about 200, maybe 300 people there. And I was sitting, say, over here in the right-hand side, my left. And the person who was preaching told me to stand up. I'm thinking, now, I'm only a Christian a couple of months, maybe 6 months. And I'm like, this is my worst nightmare. And you can't say no because they'll insist that you stand up. But that person made me stand up in front of everybody, right? And I'm thinking, what's going on here? And that person spoke into my life the very issue I was going through that week. To the T. To the point where I got scared. And I'm thinking, hold on, there's people following me around here. This is the detective or something. How does that person know? But they not only spoke into my life, but they gave me a remedy out of it. Which is different now. People can speak into your life and tell you nothing, how to change it. But that person gave me the solution. The key. How to change that, how to be different, and how to walk out of that place knowing that, hold on, I've got it. Boom. That has no more power over me anymore. I've just been given a key. The door has just been opened, and it's my choice now to walk through it, and walk through it with a different understanding and a faith and a belief. And that's what I want to share this morning. If you go with me to Matthew 11, and when Jesus talked about keys, and again, this is what we don't understand in this day and age. Remember a few weeks ago, Noel had a bunch of keys, and he held out a bunch of keys, and everyone said, there's keys. What we don't understand, and what we don't grasp, is that this is over 2,000 years ago. And for anybody to have a key, you won't get this with all your computers and all your laptops and everything you have. But a key, a simple key in our day, was the height of technology in Christ's day. It was the height of engineering. It was a key. A lock. To lock something. And it was extremely difficult to make. And the only people that had keys were people that had plenty of money and people in the highest authority. And nobody had keys on their doors. Nobody that lived, peasant people, farmers, whoever, nobody had a key on the door. They had a wooden bolt that shot across when you got in. But the only way you could lock a door is if you're in. And it was down to trust. You just put a bolt over it when you left, and down to trust you. Anyone could walk into the house. There's no way of locking unless you had the means. And when Jesus says, I will give you keys, everybody who heard him understand keys. Only people in authority have keys. Only rich people have keys. Keys are the height, zenith of air technology. To make a lock, to make something to put in. Even if you're a young kid in them days. Because you wouldn't see keys, you wouldn't see a lock. It'd be very rare you'd see a lock or in the presence of people with a lock unless you're in a prison. And you see a key going in and you'd hear mechanisms going on and metal mechanisms turning and gump. That's the height of technology. That's like someone putting on a mad computer to me and showing me all these things. To them, that's exactly the way it was. A key wasn't something that was, we'll say, everywhere. Ubiquitous. It wasn't. A key was a very rare thing, very expensive thing. And when Jesus says, I will give you a key, they knew exactly what he was saying. I will give you a key. In other words, I will give you authority. I will give you something that will prove that you're in authority. That you have the authority. The only people that had keys in them days were people that were in authority, that had money, that were jailers, or that were rich people, that were able to lock up their belongings and their goods. And so we have to understand that when Jesus says, we don't hear keys in that. We hear something that's so popular that we all have it in our pocket. But we have to try and understand what Christ was saying. How could you put it today if Christ was saying something like that? I will give you the most ultimate computer program there is to this day. And I will give it to you. So you can unlock your life. So you can have everything you need to be free. I suppose that would be the best way of putting it in today's language. So, I'm going to give you keys this morning that Christ wants to give. There's plenty of keys in Scripture that we can take. But the keys are something that I have the authority, a symbol, and if I have it in my hand, I can either bound up or release. We all understand that. So anything you loose, you have to read into the Scripture. Anything you loose in heaven or on earth will be loose in heaven. Anything you bound up on earth will be bound up in heaven. And again, it's talking about keys. You can either loosen yourself and be free, and heaven will go with you. The whole force of heaven is with you. Or you can bound something up, and the whole force of heaven will bound it up with you. So keys are not only for opening things, they're for locking things up. And as I was reading that scripture, I felt, I only see it for releasing things. No, a key is good for locking something up and we need to keep things in. There's many times in my life that God has given me keys to release or keys to bound up, and I've only opened the door. But I haven't closed the door and kept something in. Which is another aspect of what we need to do with a key, is to lock, keep something in. So if Christ gives me a truth, I need to keep it in. I need to hold on to it. It's mine, I don't have to let it free. I need to close the door. So the whole force of heaven, if I grab that truth, is bound up as well. Just as much as it's released. And if we go to Matthew 11, it says here, again, we've heard this many times, but I want you to understand as a key. Key to your life. Authority. This is what Jesus is saying. I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. You need to grab this. Take the authority. Hold on to it. This is the stuff I'm talking about. Coming to this place and being changed. Walking into a room like this and turning out and walking out changed. These are the truths. Or do you get it or you don't? And it says here, it says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle, humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's the keys. There's authority. Jesus is saying, come. It's almost like a command, but it's a definite. In this world, in this day and age that we live in, if you're watching the news for 10 minutes, you don't understand. I tell you, this world is in a state of flux at the moment. No one knows what the truth is. No one knows who's telling the truth. False lies. The things that were 30, 40 years ago were right or wrong, you know. The things 30 and 40 years ago that you campaigned for now, if you even open your mouth about it now, you're ostracized and thrown out of society. You can't even talk about it. No one knows what's going on now. We're in a... If you're a political observer, which I am, and it's something that I do observe, the world is in a mad place at the moment. And everywhere we go, I mean, there's the rise of all this kind of isolationism and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, it's all about selfishness, it's all about keeping your own, it's all boom, 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 boom. And if you look at the news, you don't know who's telling the truth. And there's one thing that we can look at, and one thing, again, that we can come into this morning and understand, what is the truth? But here's the truth. It's very simple truths. Truths about our lives. Truths about what I can apply, but applicable, what I can put into my life, what I can bound up, and what I can loose. And Jesus is very, very simple. It's very, very easy. Come to me. There's the truth. Who else can make that statement? Who else can make that statement in the whole world and the whole pantheon of religion? What religious leader, what religious, religiosity, wherever you can look at it, where can the leader make that statement? You look at it, study it. It's your job to go and study these things. What leader can make that statement? Hello? Come to me. Because that's a mad statement to make. Only God can make that statement, because he's the only one that can back it up. I can't make that statement. Imagine I come in here this morning and I'm all full of my own self-importance. And I'm standing here and I'm going, I'm going to make a mad statement. Hey everybody, come to me. And I could believe it. Some people do believe it. I can believe it. Come to me. Learn from me. But watch this. Learn from me. And I start giving you all the positives that I am. I guarantee you live with me for a week. And you will find out that that's not truth. Listen. Live with me for a week and you will find out that's not truth. Because I am not all of those things. Only the one, the I am, he who has confidence in this can say, hey, come to me. And here's one of the profoundest statements that we can have, because this absolutely nails home who Jesus was. For I am. No human can make that statement. No, so guys, take confidence in these scriptures. Grab these keys. For I am. If you think about that, if you go home today, if you get on your knees, pray and listen to, for I am. I am gentle. I am meek. Take
Listen to these are statements. These are keys put in your hand. These are not questions of maybe or possibly or could be if you think about it. He's an absolute definite. He's an absolutist. He's saying, take my yoke. I worked in rehab for 8 years, and part of my hiatus of 2 years was coming out of that work and trying to find my feet again. Noel and Sharon and Vicky can testify to that. But it's just a tough work. It's a tough ministry. It's very, very difficult. And if anyone's gone into it, have a talk with me and we'll try and give you some advice towards that. But I've seen people to talk about a yoke. Now, Jesus was a carpenter's son. Hands up who knows that. Jesus was a carpenter's son. Okay, so he talked about what he knew. And he talked about what he's seen. Right? And Jesus would have seen oxen and he would have seen them weary. Where he got that word, take my yoke upon you, all you are weary and for rest. He would have seen weary oxen and he would have known exactly what he's talking about. But also he would have been commissioned, him and Joseph would have been commissioned to make yokes. Does anyone know what a yoke is? It's a pair of it's like an apparatus made of wood that goes onto a pair of oxen. And what he would have done, in Christ's time, we're talking about kids, the farmer would bring, this is the height of technology, and we don't see this. We just see silly little farmer's apparatus that farmers used back in 2,000 years ago. But this, Jesus worked in an industry that was the height of technology for farming. The absolute zenith of technology. And he was the forefront of it. Not just a simple carpenter's son. If you go to Jesus, you go to Joseph, with the height of any to survive. You needed farms to survive. And he was the one that made the implements to create that farming. And so it's not just a simple, carpenter's son. So what they would do is they would bring the pair of oxen to Jesus, and what they would rear those two oxen together. They would get them born as close as they can within the hour of each other. Within the hour of each other. And the farmer would rear the two pair of oxen up and feed them the exact same food, the exact same measure, the exact same everything, until they grew to a certain height. Why? To get them to the same height. Okay? Then when they were ready and the farmer knew they weren't going to grow anymore, they would bring them to Jesus and he would measure them up for the yoke. And he would measure every contour of their back. Every little slight little anomaly, everything about their spine. And he would create a pair of yokes to fit that pair. And they had to fit them perfectly because if you're dragging a big heavy plow through the hard muck and if that doesn't fit you right, it will cut the absolute back of it. And that pair of animals won't last too long. And they will be in bits. And again, the farmer will have to expend more money and get another pair. So it was vitally important that Jesus got this right. And he knew exactly what he was talking about. I'm getting to the point here. Stay with me, guys. I'm getting there. And he said, look, I understand what a yoke is. Working in that industry for years, I've seen people that are paired up to the wrong yoke for years. I've seen hardened, if you like, criminals, you know, hard men, armed robbers, went into a prison to visit an armed robber, to get him over, try and get him into rehab. This is an armed robber and he's all about himself and he's all about how hard he is and his image is about how hard he is. But he's on the wrong yoke because it doesn't suit him. It's chafing the life out of him. It's destroying him. And once he took that yoke off him and put the yoke of Christ on him, you've seen a different person. This guy, he is an armed robber. He'd rob the yo-yo out of your head. Not only would he big robberies, he'd do small robberies. He'd rob the yo-yo out of your head to a person that couldn't rob a pen out of an office. He'd be coming to you confessing, I'm going to take that pen and what do I do with it? Because he's under the right yoke now. Do you understand? And there's people in this room that are under the wrong yoke on you. That doesn't suit you, that's chafing the life out of you. And Jesus could see that in these people that yous are weary. Yous are like the oxen that I see in the field and they're coming in with the wrong yoke and they're weary and they're broke up. But he says, he made the claim, he said, this is the key, guys, get it. Take my yoke. I have the exact yoke for you. Made for every part of who you are in your personality. I've made it. It's my yoke. I know everything about your personality. I know everything about the bag of marbles. I know every little secret you have. I remember a preacher saying that to me one day, going to the Lord's building. He said, Jesus knows every little secret you have. I said, what? I said to myself going out, because I'm a real pragmatist deep down, and says, does that mean that people are going to come after me looking for things? Is he going to tell them? But, no, I knew what he meant. But he still loved me. He wanted me. Even though he knew everything. Every little thing, every little idiosyncrasy, every little rottenness in me, yes. Like if I had a friend, just say for instance I have a friend, best friend as well. I remember Jesus saying this to me one day actually. He says, imagine if you had a best friend, and I gave you the power for 5 minutes to tell the future and look into his mind and see what he said about you. He says, you wouldn't be friends with him for another minute. Well, I know everything you're going to say about. Everything you're going to do, every mistake you're going to make. Every time you're going to turn your back on me. Every time that you're denying me in front of people. You know everything. You know where you'll be in 20 years' time. And all that goes under the wall. You know everything. Just to leave you. Take my yoke. Do you hear that? Do you understand the principle of a yoke? And the way the carpenter makes the yoke. He has a yoke for us. And that yoke will cause us to rest. Another key, rest. What is rest? Well, rest tomorrow for me now is a day off. That's what I think. I think he's shaking my head. Rest tomorrow. My day off tomorrow is meant to be my rest day. I'm up on a roof tomorrow fixing a roof. Well, it's a rest day. Nowadays, what does rest mean? Does it mess that means a lion? Boom, boom, boom. He's not talking about that type of rest. He's not. And bear in mind, right? Bear in mind that in Christ's time, there was no such thing. The only day they had of rest in Christ's time was Sunday. They worked every day. All hours. Every day. Bar Sunday. So he's not talking about physical rest. He makes a statement there. Let's read it again. He says, come to me, you. You have to hear this. Come to me, all you are burdened, and I will give you rest. And take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in your heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He's making a statement there. Everybody needs rest. Everybody needs rest. But it's not physical rest. It's rest for your soul. The very essence of who you are. And let me tell you guys, a lot of people can't rest. You can't sit still. You can't have that rest. You can't have that peace. Why? Because they're under the wrong yoke, but also they're tormented. Like me for years. When you grow up in a certain way, and you grow up doing a certain thing, and you understand life in a certain way, you just can't sit there and be still. You try everything that the world has to offer, everything that the world has to throw at you, to try and find some sort of rest for your soul. Whether it be narcotics, or whether it be drink, or whether it be money, or whether it be loose living, or whether it be whatever, we'll try and try and try again. Female or male, whatever it is, it's very, very difficult to find rest. I remember when I first came to know the Lord, I couldn't literally sit in a room for 5 minutes. Couldn't literally sit in a room. I had to get out of the room. I couldn't talk to people. I had no attention. I couldn't go to school. I couldn't do nothing. Needed rest in my body, I needed rest in my soul. And that's another key here this morning. How do you find rest? Do I need rest? Yes, you do. We all need rest, because Jesus is, now I'm not saying that, Jesus is saying, we all need rest. Rest for the weary soul. And so, there's the key this morning. Come to me, all of you. Who are. So there, this is Jesus saying this, boys. I'm going to finish with this. Come to me, all of you. Who are. Weary. And I will give you. Listen. There's the key. I will give you rest. Only God can make that statement. It's transient. It's for His time and it's for now. It's moving through the eons. Jesus is not only speaking to those around Him, He's speaking to you right now. He is the only one. This is where we get this, the red letter truths. Nowhere in the world can we get this. Here's the key, guys. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And the kingdom is about finding rest for the weary soul. Taking His yoke upon you. Releasing yourself from all the yokes that are put on you. Yokes that are put on you as a child, you're no good. Yokes of rejection that chafe on your back, that are not made for you. Yokes of rebellion. Yokes of poor education. I remember talking to a fellow, I was counseling a fellow, and within 15 minutes that we were talking, he mentioned where he lived about 20 times. I said to him, you need to take that yoke off you. I said, I didn't even ask you where you live, but why do you keep on bringing it up? Because it was a yoke on him that he couldn't escape from. And it was shaping the life out of him and killing him, causing him to be weary and not have any rest. And we took that yoke off, and Jesus said, take my yoke on you now. Because it's a yoke you can carry. It's easy. Listen, it's easy. It's light. Jesus takes all the pressure. He takes all the heavy lifting. He takes all the burdens. He takes all the guilt. Bit by bit, when I was a young Christian, going through under Noel's leadership and all, every time, every so often, Jesus would take a burden off me. A burden of guilt. Or a burden of shame. He would say to me, Edge, you're forgiven. For everything, Lord. For everything. He said to me one day, he says, Edge, you're forgiven. I said, Lord, for everything. He says, past, isn't it? That's an easy yoke. That's a light yoke. Past, present and future. I love you in it all. In which you never to leave you nor forsake you. Behold, I am your God and you are my child. It's an easy yoke. I can carry that yoke all day. I can work under it. I can have my being under it. I can rear my kids under it. I can be in my home and my workplace under it. It's an easy yoke. Every time I try and put that bad yoke on me, Jesus says, I will give you blessing. Permanent blessing. It's not just rest for the now, it's rest permanent. I'm resting in God the last 20 years. Why? Because I know all my sin is forgiven. I know that Jesus loves me. I know that He has a plan and a purpose for me. Let's all stand. Boys, can we take them keys? Can we let Jesus hand them to you? Do we understand the principle of the key? Can we bound that in? So when you're in work tomorrow, and the devil comes against you and says, don't be listening to that handsome fella that was preaching yesterday. Don't be listening to him telling you that you have a future. Are you going to listen? Or are you going to present the key? Hold on. No, that's different. He says I am. And he has the authority to tell me I'm wanted. I'm cherished. If the worship came here, are we all? Okay. Yeah, Gloria, if you want to play, I'm going to just open up. Listen, when I was starting this sermon this morning, the Lord said to me, Eddie, you're preaching to yourself here this morning. You know that kid? I said, yes, Lord. This is just for me as much as it's for you. I'm preaching to myself here. I need to bound things up. And I need to loosen things. I need to grab hold of things and hold on to them. So if that's you this morning, if you feel you're carrying a yoke that has been put on you, that's not made for you, that doesn't fit you, come on up to the front. If you need rest, we all need rest by the way, but you need to discover that. You need to come to that place yourself. If you need rest for the weary soul, but here you have the key this morning here. You can walk out of here and understand, I don't have to live in guilt. I don't have to live in shame. I don't have to carry heavy burdens the world has put on me. I can forgive. I can let go. I can be at peace. Why? Because Jesus says, I am. Jesus says, I am. He has the authority. No one else for him. He is the I am. I can. I will. I have. I am. I will. So Father, bless you this morning, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Father, we give you this word. Lord, we bless you for it, Lord. The keys of the kingdom, Lord. The authority I give unto you. Father, that we can bound up or that we can loose, Lord. Let us, Lord Jesus, take this, Lord, and me the first, in Jesus' name.